Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Baba Batra Daf Kuf Mem Vav Mem Aleph at the Mishnah near the top of the Amud. And in this Mishnah, we're going to deal with Sivlonot, which are gifts, as we mentioned in the last podcast, gifts sent by a chatan to his affianced's family during the period of betrothal. Our question is, claiming them back if the marriage is not completed. Hashalach Sivlonot the Beit Chamiv. So somebody sent Sivlonot to her family, her father. Shalach Sham Me'a Maneh, even if he sent a huge gift. V'yachal Sham Sudat Chatan, and he ate there as the prospective son-in-law, or assigned son-in-law. Afilu B'dinar, even if he only ate one dinar's worth, Enan Nigbin, then he cannot then collect them if the wedding is canceled. Lo achal Sham Sudat Chatan, but if he didn't eat there at all, Hare Ilu Nigbin, then he can claim them. This, of course, if the wedding never happens. Let's say he sent a huge gift, enough for her to bring it back with her, like clothes, things like that, and jewelry, that she would then bring back with her into the marriage, then those can be claimed in any case. But if he sent a small amount, we'll see not only quantity, but the nature of these gifts will help determine. Then they cannot, if they are small enough just for her to have and use in her father's house, then they cannot be claimed. Okay. Amar Rava. Dafka dinar. Rava says that in the opening line of the Mishnah, it means that he had a meal there worth a dinar. It has to really be a dinar. Pachot mi dinar lo, but if he had just a tiny snack or something, that doesn't count. It's a pshita dinar tanan. It's obvious. The Mishnah says dinar. So maudatema hu adin dafilo pachot mi dinar. Actually, the way that it's easily read in the Mishnah is this Havanina, that it could mean even less than a dinar. And the dinar, which is mentioned, is saying even as small as a dinar. So Kamash Malan, that it really is a threshold. And if you had something less substantial than a dinar, then it's not considered having eaten there. And if the wedding is canceled, he can claim back the Sivlonot. Now, Achaltanan, the Mishnah said if he ate there. Shatamai, what if he only drank there? What if he came to father-in-law's house and they sat and had a wine tasting party? Hutanan, it says if he ate there. Shluchomai, what if he had a friend and he sent his friend and said, go, my father-in-law will feed you, and his friend had a nice meal there. Shamtanan, if he ate there, then it says that he can't collect them. Shagarlomai, what if father-in-law sent him a basket of food or a meal? So let's see. Toshma, Dam Rav Yehuda, Mar Shmuel, Maaseh Be'Adam Echad. This is a story that happened in Usha. Sheshigar LeBeit Chamiv, Me'ah Kornot Shel Kadei Yain. He sent 100 wagons full of barrels of wine, Shel Kadei Shemen and oil, Shel Klei Chesav, Shel Klei Zahav, and of silver and gold vessels, Shel Klei Milat and fancy clothes, for Achav B'Simchato. And he was rejoicing. So he's obviously a very wealthy guy. Whether these numbers are real or they're exaggeration doesn't matter. We are we're talking about a huge gift. And he came and stood on the door, outside of the door of his father-in-law. They sent out a cup of hot liquid and he drank it on the outside, umate, and he died. So they asked the question in Usha. And the psak was, any sivlonot that are likely or typically will be worn out, like food or like cheap clothes or things like that, can't be collected back. Anything that's not likely to be worn out is collected. So the gold and silver the family could collect, the food, the stuffs they can't collect. But notice that he never went into the house. He was outside of the house. He never ate anything. So let's see. Shvamina afilu shata. So the first thing you could see is that our first question, even if he drinks something, that's considered enough. Shvamina afilu pachot midinar. But he only drank a cup of hot something, which we think would be like hot tea. So it sounds like even less than a dinar. Amarashi man lemolan dulo shachi le marganita de shavi alfe zuzi vashke. Who says maybe they took theoretically a very fancy jewel and crushed it up and put it into the hot water? What it means is that this kos chamin didn't have to necessarily be cheap. So the dinar issue that Rava said it has to be at least a dinar. That's not disproven. But the drinking issue certainly is proven. Shamina afilu shigrulo. You could also settle the question, the third question we had, what if they sent it to him and he didn't come and eat, that it looks like that's considered enough, because after all, he was outside of the house. Say, no, dilma kol petach beit chamiv ki beit chamiv dami. Maybe being outside of the doorway is like being at the house. The shigrulo question is, what if the guy's at home and he gets a DHL delivery from his father-in-law with some food? That would be the question we asked, and we haven't settled that. What about prorating it? For instance, if he came and ate a small meal, less than a dinar, can he maybe not collect back everything? So, what about if the sivonot go up in value and then they're lost and they have to return them? Question is, if the sivonot were there, they'd come back as is, and if they appreciated, then he gets the appreciation. Let's say that he sent some gold, and the price of gold went up, and then the thing was canceled, and he never ate there. They'd have to send it back, and that means that he gains. So that means it's like in his property. So if it appreciated, and then they lost it, they should have to pay him back the raised value. But on the other hand, since if the things would be lost, she'd have to pay them back, it sounds like it's in her property. So therefore, it's in her property that appreciated, and her family would only have to send back the original value, not the appreciated value. And the answer to that is teku. It's unclear what the status of sivonot is. So in the story from Usha, we said that the ruling was sivonot that typically get worn out are not returned. What happens if you have sivonot that are typically worn out, but they didn't get worn out, and then the wedding got canceled? Can he claim them back? Like he sends a bunch of food, and the next day they cancel the wedding. Well, the food is still in good shape. All right, so let's see. Toshma, Zu alacha helar v'yachav sar v'lefnecham b'usha. The language of the ruling from Usha makes it very clear that it is only things that, it's things that typically get worn out. It says nothing about whether they are worn out. Right, my love of Abdullah Balu, the easiest to read is that even if they didn't get worn out, lo de balu, and only things that actually did get worn out. In other words, the family is coming and claiming, we want those sivonot back. And the girl's family is claiming, well, this stuff already got eaten up and you sent food. Or this clothing already got used up. It was for the summer and the summer already passed and it got used up. So let's see. Toshma sivonot muatim shetishtamesh behen v'hibe beit aviyah in nigbin. So you see from the end of the Mishnah that said that if they sent sivonot, a small amount of sivonot that she should use in the father's house, they're not collectible, which means whether or not they got used up, if they're cheap kind of things, or things that are going to get worn out soon while she's still there or she can't bring back, that they can't be collected anyways. So Tegema Rava b'yevav sifchata. Rava said, no, that's talking about really cheap clothes. The Baal's mochal on anyways, and that's what that meant by muatim. I'm Yehud Amarav, so we never settled that question. He told a story, and the story is about sivonot, but it doesn't seem to be telling us anything about sivonot. He sent new wine and oil and new flax clothes, new linen clothes, on Shavuot. So my Kamashplan, what's the story teaching? He's teaching us something beautiful about Eretz Yisrael, but that early in the season, all that stuff was already ready. Or perhaps it's a setting a precedent so that if somebody later makes a claim, I sent all this stuff, people won't say nobody ever sent stuff like that. Here we have a recorded story that somebody did. Okay, I'm a Rav. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. It's another story, Rav Yehuda quoting Rav, about something, about a marriage, but we're now far away from Sivonot. A fellow was betrothed, and people told him, you know what, your wife has no sense of smell. So what happened is she was going into some ruined house, and he followed her to check her out. How did he check her out? I smell some radish here. So in the meantime, he had dates with him, and he wanted to see if she would catch on. Said, there's no radish here, it's dates. So she made a joke back at him. She's quite witty and said, oh, maybe you can give me some Yericho dates so I could eat the tznon with it. No, that she smelled the dates. Nafal v'achur v'omeita. In the meantime, while she was in the house collapsed. We learned at the beginning of Brachot, you shouldn't go into a house like that. And she died. Since he went in, not for purposes of yichud, and it wasn't some sort of a chuppah, but rather he went in there to check her out. Since she died, he is not yorisher because Yerusha only happens after nisuin. And even though they were in this area privately, we don't consider that nisuin, and he's not yorisher. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, Sivonot mu'atin shetavesh ben v'et avia. Yati ravin saba kamed rapapa v'yati v'kamar. So he said the following, Bein shemetahi uvein shemetu, or hadarhu. Whether she dies, or the he dies, or the he backs out of the wedding, Sivonot hadri, regular sivlanot, like clothing and vessels, come back. Machal mishtalo hadri. But food doesn't have to be sent back. Hadra ba'i, but if she backs out of the wedding, hadra afilu kisha diarka, even little bundles of vegetables that he sent, they have to pay it back. That is, he sent gifts, and maybe he kept a record of the gifts, and then she backs out of the wedding. Anything he sent as a gift can be claimed back. Of course, kiddushin is a machloket about the tibuin yinim. But we don't have them pay back the exact value, but rather like the value of cheap meat. Ad kam mazol ad tilta, meaning up to one third less than the original value, is what they have to pay back. Okay, the next Mishnah, we're only going to the beginning of this next Mishnah. We have come back to the Shchimi Mashkatav kol nechasav la'achirim. If he assigned all of his property to others, he left one little piece of land that wasn't assigned, then he gets better. Then the matana is good, even if he gets better, because we understand that his thought was, I may get better, because he left something, and he thought for sure he was dying, he would have given everything away. And the fact that he thought that means that even when he gets better, the matana that he made is still valid. But if he left nothing over for himself and then he got better, then the entire matana is canceled because clearly he did it based on the thought that he was dying. It turned out he wasn't dying. And so now the matana comes back. So matana does lin bata umdra. So the first question of the Gemara is, who is our author, who is our Tana, who believes that in ratifying a gift, we have to go after the donor's intent and not just his words? So we have two opinions. I'm Rav Nachman, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. It's Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. We already saw this earlier. Tanya, Reish alach b'dom din atayav, shaman shemeit b'no v'amad v'chatav kona chasav le'acher, chakach ba v'no matnato matana. If a guy heard that his one son had gone off to war, gone off on a trip, and had died, and then he assigned everything he owned to somebody else, and then it turned out he was wrong and his son came back, too bad, the gift is good. Shimon Manasseh omer, ein matnato matana. He says it's not a good gift. Had he known the truth that his son was alive, he never would have written it. Right? So therefore, as he wrote it as a reaction, hearing that his son had died. And so Rav Nachman says that Rav Shimon Manasseh, he's the same author as our Mishnah, says we know that this fellow, had he known he was going to get better, wouldn't have written it because he gave everything away, and therefore it comes back. Rav Shimon Shazuri, he says, no, it's Rav Shimon Shazuri. Tanya, Rishonah, there's a Mishnah in Gittin. Now, you Omrim, I would say, but Kolar. Markid will get Lishti. If a guy's about to be executed and says, write again for my wife, they could write it and give it based just on those words, even if he didn't say Tnu. He said Kitvu. Chazrulomar, they added, Afam Faresh, Vayotse B'Shaira, somebody who's going out on a sea journey or on a caravan. Rishonah, Chazuri Omer, Afam Esukan, even somebody who is in danger. He's on his deathbed, and he says, Kitvu, we allow them to write it and give it, because we understand that Kitvu meant that. Okay, so in other words, again, assessing the intent of the donor. Now, each one of them picked a different Tana. So why? Rav Nachman, my Tana, law, mokim, like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Why didn't Rav Nachman like Rav Shimon Shazuri from Gittin? Shaniatam, Dara Kitvu. There, he at least said Kitvu. He didn't just say, give it. He said Kitvu, which means makes it a little bit more formal. That can't shed light on our case. Rav Sheshit, my time alo mukim alo Rav Shimon Shemanasya. Why didn't Rav Sheshit like Rav Shemanasya? So umda denu chachshani, because Shemanasya is such an obvious case where the guy's son died and then he gave everything away to somebody else. That's such an obvious case that they can't shed light on our case of a shchimira where it's not as clear. All right, Mantan Alahadatan Rabbanan. So now we have a bright down. Let's see who the author is. Horesha Yachola Mutalba Mita. A guy was on a sick bed. Amrulo Nechasech Alami. And they said, who should we give your property to? Amar Lahen, Domesh Yeshli Ben. I thought I had a son. Yachshav Sheinli Ben. But then I found out I don't have a son. Nechasai Leponi. I'm giving it to Ploni. Ayachola Mutalba Mita. Same case. Amrulo Nechasav Lami. I thought my wife one time was pregnant. Now I find out she's not pregnant. Not one time, but I thought she was pregnant. Now I find she wasn't pregnant. I'm giving it to Ploni. And in either case, and then we find out that really he does have a son, or really his wife is pregnant. The matana is no good. So who's the author of that? So sounds like Rosh Hashanah, who never said it explicitly, but made it clear that he was giving everything away because he had no heirs. He thought he had no heirs. So maybe Rabbanan don't agree. So Filutim Rabbanan don Meshani. And even the Rabbanan here would agree because he makes it very clear that he wanted to give everything to his heirs or to the unborn child. And that he's just saying, but now that I don't have that, in other words, it's very clear that his intent was to give it to his children, and the matana was only because he had no children in his thought. And when he found out he has children, it should go to them. Why did you even bring this up? The answer is, I might think that when the guy told this story, he said, I thought I had a son, he was just doing it and kind of raising his own painful memories, and that his statement doesn't mean anything. Kamashbalan, it does mean something, and even the Rabbanan would agree that in such a case, the matana would be canceled. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.